This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Sorry.
Two down. Cubs lead by a run. Tying run at first. Martinez at the plate. Bryant guards the line at third. Here we go. Montgomery's pitch. A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. The Cubs come pouring out of the dugout, jumping up and down like a bunch of delirious 10-year-olds. The longest drought in the history of American sports is over, and the celebration begins.
We love that call, the final out of the World Series. Pat Hughes, Ron Coomer, and one Mark Grody on that fateful night in Cleveland on a Wednesday. And we celebrate the Cubs' 100 years of being on radio on 670 The Score and the Cubs Radio Network tonight. This is Rahimian Harris. Mark Grody is in for Marshall Harris. And I always like to do a little fun holiday something. If you know me and I've been here enough years, then you know I try to sneak in a little fun holiday surprise here and there with segments. Sometimes they're segments we can never talk about again.
Yeah. You set up a little motif. Sometimes you decorate. Sometimes they're discussions. Sometimes you bring in food. Sometimes you bring gifts. None of that is true, but you do like to do fun little radio segments.
I bring the gifts to the people, whether it's fun audio or special guests. And I feel like today is a perfect day because tonight we're celebrating that at Wrigley. If I didn't know better, I'd say those little sneaky sneaks over there, Crane Kenny and Colin Faulkner. How interesting that you wanted to celebrate the Cubs' 100 years of being on radio, where, say, you celebrate, I don't know, the World Series win, for example, with Cleveland in town. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting how that worked out.
Oh, yes. Yes, it is quite coincidental that Pat and Ron will be throwing out the first pitch. I will be there. I will be in the house tonight watching Pat and Ron do their thing out there. So it'll feel good for me to see Cubs and Guardians on Wrigley Field.
But also, because of that, I thought it would be a really good time to talk about some of your favorite memories from being on the Cubs radio broadcast.
Oh, my God. And like when we were talking about this and you brought this up, I was like, honest to God, I don't even know where to start. Like, what do you mean? Like my personal experiences, what I saw on the field. And I guess the answer is a little bit of all of the above. So you guys kind of helped me a little bit, like from stuff that you've heard in the past, narrow this down a little bit. I would start from that game seven moment in Cleveland, and I remember that booth being very bit. I don't know, very busy, but there was an intensity and a tensity to it. You've got myself, Dave Miska, Pat, and Ron, obviously. Matt Spiegel was wandering about the booth bringing grilled cheese sandwiches for everybody. Lisa Aww. Fielding. Oh, yeah, Spiegel was great. He was like a little kid, man. Lisa Fielding from WBBM was down there. She got the whole thing. Like I've got it somewhere on my Facebook page, the video of like right before Game 7 began. And of course, Mitch Rosen as well, the great Mitch Rosen, who was my executive producer throughout all of this for my three-hour gargantuan radio pregame shows. So that was, and he was awesome, like Mitch, as you would expect, because that's how Mitch cut his teeth in this business. Our boss used to be a prominent producer in this town, and he's got it, like everything. He's like, I got this guy, okay, we're not gonna have that guy, let's have this guy, let's take a caller, let's do that. I'm like, this is the greatest producer I've ever had. This is pretty awesome. It's the boss.
And this whole time I was in the studio, by the way, at NBC Sports Chicago. Mark Schanowski and I that night had the post game show, so it was Cap and Holly, and then it was us.
Oh, that's awesome. That, like, just to have a piece of it, a taste of it as a media person in any way, shape, or form, it's pretty cool. But I will just say, like, I mean, there's so much obvious. I mean, I could do the whole 20 minutes here on that night.
You could.
But I will say that when that final out was made, I did gulp really big. Like, I felt like, you know, like a lot of people will say, it takes a while for it to sink in. Like, there was an immediate moment. I had a moment, and I had to quickly get over the moment because there was the most important part of the job was just about to occur for me anyway. Not for the sake of the broadcast, but for me doing now a 2.5 hour post-game show. So, yeah, I mean, it was an unbelievable night, the whole Game 7 experience in Cleveland.
Well, and I think it's really cool that one of the gifts you get from working at the Score is Pat Hughes' scorecard from that night.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, and I've been lucky enough to present that gift to other people. And, yeah, man, I'm really happy. I enjoyed the moment, I think, there. And it certainly was not something that I would ever take for granted in any way, shape, or form. Okay, so that's a game feeling moment, and I don't know if I did it justice, and like I said, I can say much more about it. How about now a funny story?
Of course.
From the broadcast.
This
is this is a little bit of a classic. I've told this one on the Score many times, but I have a new audience, I think, for all three of you guys here. For Layla, I think Ray says he may have heard it. I don't know if Tyler Farengol, who is here. What's up, Baby T?
Baby T is four months old. He hasn't heard it.
Well, that's true. He's just a baby, isn't he?
He's just a baby like Dave the Cat.
So this is 2015. This is my first year doing, for people who have no idea, I did Cubs pre and post 15, 16, and 17. Lucky me, literally. I was there when the Cubs, they just went to the NLCS every year. I was there. I admit it.
There's
a lot of former pregame hosts that did the Cubs that hate me because I'm this guy steps in and they just go to the NLCS. There's a lot of long suffering. Shout out to Andy Mazur and Judd Surratt and everybody that has done the job before me.
Love Andy.
I love those guys.
I worked with Andy in San Diego.
Oh, those guys were great. Those guys were great, man. I was like, man, can I do it like these guys? I don't know. But anyway, in 2015, I'm new on the job. So you know how it is. You got a new job, and that was a fairly prominent gig. You want to do everything right. You don't want to upset anybody. You don't want to disappoint anybody. There was a night in 2015 where Eddie Vedder happened to be in the booth. And it was one of my first interactions with him. I'm a huge Pearl Jam fan. I think everybody, I have told way too many stories about Pearl Jam to people, but I love Eddie Vedder. I love Pearl Jam. He came in the booth. Pat and Ron interviewed him. They know how much I love Eddie Vedder. I chatted it up with Eddie Vedder for a little while. And so then after Eddie leaves the booth on the radio, Pat and Ron and me sitting behind them doing the pregame show. And this was a little bit of the back and forth that I had with Mr. Pat Hughes in regards to the front man from Pearl Jam.
Time for the seventh inning stretch, and here he is, Eddie Vedder. Mark, thank you. Before you turn the microphone off, I know you are a huge Pearl Jam fan and Bears. Eddie Vedder fan, and you had a chance to meet him. What was that like?
Fantastically friendly guy. I feel like I know him. I feel like we're friends now. I feel like I put BFF before Eddie Vedder.
All right, we go to the eighth inning. Lucas Duda will lead off and take a strike.
Lucas Duda, that's a blast from the past in and of itself.
Did you notice, though, how bad? So this requires a little bit more explanation. So
he was so like, okay.
Okay. So he had kind of, like when Pat, sometimes when Pat interacts with, at least when I was there, he would kind of turn his head a little bit towards me, you know, like, Lamarck, would you like to engage with us on the radio here? And after I said the BFF thing, you heard what Coomer said. Immediately, you heard no response from Pat. He just turns back around, back to the game, ball two. And I'm like, what the hell? What did I do? What's going on here? Why is Pat mad at me?
Because to pull back the curtain a little bit, yes. Typically, you will find that if you're brought in by an announcer, whether you're you, the third person in the booth, me as a sideline
right.
reporter,
Zach
whatever.
Does that now. Yep.
Yes. That there's an acknowledgement on the front end and there's some sort of acknowledgement on the back end.
Right.
Now, sometimes logistics will not allow for that. So you don't have that case.
Right. Maybe there's a hit. Maybe there's a commercial.
If I'm in a basketball game and you got to get in and out quickly, or you're even in that year, 2015, if you're working with a fast worker beyond the mound, you don't want to miss any of the action.
Absolutely.
But that was not the case here.
And you learn those rhythms, by the way. Right, Pat turns around, continues to broadcast the game, and then they take the break. You know, Cubs lead the game on the Cubs radio network. So mics are off. Pat turns around to me, like does the full 360.
Oh,
or that'd be a 180. I don't know. I guess it'd be a 180, right?
180.
Yeah. So he turns around, like the full turn. I'm not just getting the head. Oh, I got the full turn. I got Miska back. Oh, I got the full turn. Oh. What's he want? He goes, okay, Mark. He goes, what's BFF? And I go, it's best friends forever. Best friends forever. I don't know. He's like, I don't know if we do that stuff around here. And so then he turns back around. He thought, and I don't remember exactly how he said it, so I don't want to misrepresent him. He thought I was dropping F-bombs. He thought BFF was F-bombs. And Coomer's dying. Coomer's under the table. Nobody's helping me out. Coomer's under the table. Miska's like, And I'm just sitting there, what did I do? Am I going to lose this job? And I even said to Pat, I go, ask your daughters, man. He's got young daughters. I said, they'll know. They'll tell you. BFF, man.
Not even Coom.
They knew, but they were leaving me on the island because it's Pat. Look, it's Pat's booth, man. It's Pat's booth. He's the king of the booth. He's the Hall of Famer. So they're just like, Grody, good luck digging. You're the one who had to say BFF on the air.
Dump him.
You're
dump
the one
him.
Who's got to be talking about Eddie Vedder. You can dig yourself out of this there, Mr. Pregame guy.
You know what happened? You basically had the Craig Council relief pitching experience. Like, you're on the mound, and there's runners at second and third, and it's the wind blowing out, and you're just, like, on an island.
Oh, yeah. I'm on an island. I'm helpless. And I just had this, like, sinking feeling the rest of that day. And then I don't even remember if there's anything ever said about it afterwards. But it was all good. It was all good there afterwards.
Mark Grody says with a somewhat tense smile.
Yes, yes.
This is the Remy and Harris Show on The Score. Mark Grody is in, and we're celebrating the 100 years of Cubs radio tonight, which I think is really cool. You get a speaker if you go to the game. I do think there's some symmetry in the fact that it is in the Cleveland series. Wink.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I wink in the direction of Colin Faulkner and Crane Kenny on that one.
Oh, of course. And yeah, we got Pat. Are Pat and Ron, do they both get to throw out a pitch? Do we know? Like, or is it just one of them that throws
Mitch
out the pitch?
Mitch is here. He's in the booth
Maybe
now.
Mitch can clarify.
The producer for Mark Grody's 3-hour pre- and post-game shows is in the booth right
I was
now.
Just talking about that with the... Come on in, Mitch. Come on in, Mitch. Come on
in,
man.
You know how this works.
Yeah, there we go.
Storytelling. Coom is throwing to Pat?
Coom thrown. Oh, okay. So Coom is. Yeah. You want to jump on
one of these?
Oh, you got me another one.
Card. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, this is great.
Hey, Mitch, how's it going?
Hi, Layla.
Dry Dogs. Yes, yeah. Mitch Rosen was a huge part of. No, seriously, man. This ain't just kissing up. I'll do that on my own time. The kissing up part.
But this morning.
But this guy, man, what a bond, dude! Like the 3 hour
Cleveland.
Yeah. That was a blast. And the Dry Dogs, the whole thing.
One thing about
tell me about that, by the way.
The Cleveland pre-game meeting, it was like at 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and the forecast, there was nothing in there about rain. Everyone remembers the rain delay. Len Casper, you know, there's no local TV, so Len jumped in. Remember, he was on the field interviewing players.
Oh, yeah, of course.
At 1 or 2 o'clock that afternoon, he said to Miska and the whole group, he goes, we should get an umbrella just in case it rains. And we all looked at our phones. There's no rain because, A, nobody knew it would go after midnight, and there was no rain in the forecast. So I said to Miska, hey, would you mind going to Walgreens or CVS? I gave him the company credit card. But Len was the one who said, get the umbrella. And what happened? Rain delay.
Yeah. Yep. So obviously, the most famous rain delay of all time.
Correct.
That was hilarious. Yep. That's right.
But there was bonding through the playoffs and the World Series, and Grody was great, Pat and Ron, and it was special. I mean, it was to see guys like Coomer, lifelong Cub fan, crying when it was over.
Yeah.
I mean, I started crying.
I mean, yeah.
Why wouldn't you? I get goosebumps when you guys tell the story. And what's funny is I was a part of it. You know, I was sitting with Mark Schanowski, and we're just going through all the emotions, just sitting in the studio watching. And Mark has to say, he's like, oh, my son is going to be devastated by this. And he was not, Mark. Mm. He was not.
Not this team. Not that team. And that was the theme of that team. I always said, like, say this on the radio every chance I got, like, when there were moments where it felt like it wasn't going to happen, it was going to be the same old Cubs. I was like, this Cubs team is collectively, figuratively hugging 40,000 people at Wrigley every night saying, we got you. It's okay. This ain't 07, 08. This ain't 03. This ain't 1984. This is 2016, and it was all on the score.
One question. When the team was flying, when they left Chicago and they were down going to Cleveland, was it like doom and gloom, or was it the same attitude, like, we've got this?
No, it was... I hate to give an answer like this. They were kind of like they always are. Mm-hmm. Now, those flights were different because they had so many people on them.
And families,
too,
right?
The families on there. You have Cubs employees. So the plane is literally three times as large. Mm-hmm. So in that way, it almost feels like this big family vacation because of the cargo. Because it's everybody. It's just, we're up. Pack up the plane. We're all going to Cleveland. So it really kind of felt normal. I will say this, like the one, unfortunately, like doing the pregame show or the postgame show, one thing I didn't get to do was really spend time in the locker room afterwards or down, which you got to do with Pat and Ron.
Yeah, special.
And I understood that was part of my gig. But the really cool thing that happened to me on the way home, on the plane ride home with the Chicago Cubs, with the World Series trophy, I'm on the plane, on the team plane, Anthony Rizzo's got the trophy, and he just looks at me and he goes, here, hold on to this.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Like just sitting there on this plane, t-shirt on, we're all like, just did 3 hours of post-game on the here you go, hold on to this.
Wow.
And he just like left it with me. He's like, yeah, go ahead, hold on to that. And then I think I gave it to somebody else.
But if you speak baseball, you know that is a big, big deal.
It's not just a hunk of metal?
Yeah. I don't think it is, but I'm saying, but for Rizzo to even have that gesture to you, you know, you just explain why a lot of people love him so much.
That's right. Oh, would you explain to Layla the Dry Dog situation?
So, it sounds weird, which it wasn't. So, Cleveland, I don't think the media relations was prepared for all the media people, so there wasn't enough food for the press. So, by the time we were done with our pregame, Mark, Pat, Ron, they wanted something to eat, nothing left for the press, so there were boxes. So, I went down to the concourse, and they ran out of condiments like ketchup and mustard. Not that anybody would have ketchup on their hot dogs. And they were so nice. And I ordered like 30 30 hot dogs for, like, Len was with us, Miska and others, and they gave me one of those, like, serving metal chafing dishes, and I came back with, and I think, Coombs, they got any mustard? I said, they're just dry dogs. So from then on, it was dry dogs.
And then, like, Pat, like, because that's so Pat, like, to take something like that and run. Well, Mitch Rosen, our fine boss, has brought dry dogs to the booth. We have dry dogs. Like, Pat loved that. Loved the dry dogs.
So that was
the
theme. And that was that just game seven dry dogs, or was it?
I don't know. I'd have to go back. We got to, like, this stuff. Mitch, it's 10 years next year.
Unbelievable.
Stuff is getting away from us a little bit.
One thing I want to say in, you know, the 100th anniversary, personal feeling, obviously you've been in the business a while. Baseball on the radio is special, right? It's a relationship you have, whether it's Pat Hughes or Len or other baseball announcers. And TV is great. You can watch it. But baseball on a summer day, you know, listen on your app, listen on, you know, a transistor radio, however you listen. To me, it's special. It's a relationship you have with the team, with an announcer, with a radio station, and it's like a good book that you can't put down, and that's what baseball on the radio is to me. I don't know how you guys feel. Like, where you grew up, you know, listening, whether it was Rangers or the Astros, you were a Cubs fan. People have that relationship. I don't know how you feel.
I mean, are you kidding? That's how I learned how to do the job, was by calling into the radio after games, and not just that, but writing for my paper. So I think also it's just about how, what my biggest takeaway was how many people dedicated the World Series win to somebody else in their family who wasn't there.
Right.
And what I love is that that person had a relationship with the Cubs on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't matter necessarily where you are. It's the fact that we were there for you.
Mm-hmm. What you just said is perfect.
Yeah, and you're right. Yeah, I mean, let's listen to Lou Boudreau on the radio, and Vince Lloyd.
Brickhouse.
Harry. And, who? I mean, we're probably missing somebody. Dwayne Statz. Yeah, Tom Brenneman. Brenneman was on the radio. Yeah. I mean, Milo Hamilton, and obviously all of the modern-day broadcasters as well. So, yeah, it holds a special place in my heart. And by the way, I just want you to know, Mitch, for about the last 6 minutes or so, Ray Diaz has been trying to get us to break. So just
my
for
fault.
I feel like we're covered in here because Mitch is here. Like, I feel like no harm, no foul, Ray. You have done your job.
What
sir.
Is it called when a player sit manager's decision or something? You know, when you sit
coach's
a player?
Decision.
Coach's decision.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do want to also add this. I think a lot of times you'll hear a therapist say a trick to help quell anxiety is picture the voice of somebody. Try to hear the voice of somebody who made you calm, a parent or a grandparent or something along those lines. And I always think for a lot of people listening to baseball games or watching games, one of the Cubs radio announcers is the voice they hear.
That is nice.
Makes sense. Pat. Yeah.
And congratulations to 100 years of Cubs radio being with you.
Congratulations.
Mark Potash, the great writer, he's not gone. He's going to join us for Bears Talk, Cubs Talk, and more. That's next on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
With the third pick of the 2025 NHL Draft, the Chicago Blackhawks select from Jour Garden, Anton Friendell.
It's an amazing feeling. I'm still shocked. It was a blackout when I heard my name, and now I finally have a new favorite NHL team, and I'm happy to be here.
That is Anton Friendell. He is the newest first-round pick. Well, I guess he's not technically the newest first-round pick. He was just the first player taken, because they had two guys who were taken after him in the first round who were newer than him because they got their names called later in the first round of the NHL draft. Anyway, Blackhawks fully loaded. Eight new players added, and they're obviously going to get right to work. Developmental camp starting for the Blackhawks today. And so, for more on that, we go out to the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. That's where Mark Lazarus joins us. Mark, the senior NHL writer of The Athletic, the co-host of The Athletic Hockey Show, and Mark, thanks for joining us here on Raheemy and Harris. I'm just curious, what do you make of what the Blackhawks were able to do over the weekend as we kind of hopefully step out of the rebuild mode into the time to compete mode?
Been saying that for a few years now, haven't we? Huh?
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't hold your breath, because we're going to be making these same top five picks next year too, I'm thinking. But it's a volume business for the Blackhawks right now. They've been, they've traded so many guys away over the last handful of years that they've accumulated so many picks. And not just first-rounders, but second, third, and fourth-rounders. And, every year it seems Kyle Davidson is trading back into the first round. He's made 11 first-round picks in the last four drafts, which is kind of crazy to think about. But that's the way they're looking at it. Is that, in the NHL draft, if you're taken in the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round, you're probably not an NHL player. There's a limited amount of guys that really make it. So their thought is get as many first-rounders as you can, because those guys are going to probably make the NHL. And if you hit on half of them, you've got, your entire top six set. So it's a volume business for Kyle Davidson right now. And, they'll be in the mix again for the top pick next year. And Gavin McKenna, the next generational prospect. Stop me if you've heard this before, but
yeah,
their hope is that 3-4 years from now, these guys will all be stars.
Mark, you're really frustrating me right now, because all I'm thinking is, what, can Kyle sneak over to the Bulls and just start doing that with the Bulls? Because that's not what they do. So, yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's a blessing and a curse, right? Like, it's probably the right way to do it, but it also never seems to work in the NHL. These teams that go on these perpetual rebuilds and try to build exclusively through the draft, they fail. Buffalo hasn't made the playoffs in 14 years. Detroit hasn't made the playoffs in 9 years. It's really hard to hit on the draft. It's such a crapshoot. You're drafting children, right? And you're projecting what they'll be like as men. So it's a really difficult process. It looks like it's working so far. There's a lot of talent. But you just never know until, they've been in the league a few years.
Yeah, and that's such a good point. I mean, they're drafting children, and they have the exuberance of children. Like Friendell, when he was drafted, he almost had this air of, I'm not worthy. I can't believe it. I've been drafted by the damn Blackhawks. What do they have in Anton Friendell? Like, if he is to develop into what scouts think he might be, what is that product in Anton Friendell, Mark?
Well, if you ask Anton Friendell, he'll say he plays a Sasha Barkov style game. Alexander Barkov, for those who aren't big hockey fans, he plays for the Florida Panthers, and he's one of the best all-around players. Think like a Jonathan Toews, a Marian Hossa, a guy who's just phenomenal at both ends of the ice. He might not have the flash of a Connor McDavid, but he's the kind of player that wins championships, right? So that's what Frondell says. There's another Florida Panther that the scouts say is probably more realistic, Anton Lundell. Oddly enough, very similar name. He's the third line center for the Panthers. Great player, but not the flashiest guy, not a superstar offensive guy. Frondell's probably somewhere in the middle there. If he's your number two center, or if he's becomes Connor Bedard's wing, then this is a home run pick, right? If he can play that role, if he's in your top six, then that's great. We won't know for a little while. He's probably going back to Sweden this year. I think only top pick Matthew Schaefer of the Islanders and number two pick Michael Misa of San Jose. Those are probably the only two guys that'll be in the NHL this year out of this draft. But Frondell will not be far away, and maybe by the end of the year, kind of like last year where all these guys came in at the end, we might be able to see him in Chicago.
Okay, Mark. So they've got all these picks, 11 in the first round the last 4 years. I'm curious as to if there needs to be more balance in going to get immediate help for Connor Bedard, or are they just saying this is just the way the process is going to go, and it may be 4-5 years before Bedard and the Blackhawks can be contenders?
I mean, that's where we're headed. Like, they're clearly, like, free agency opens tomorrow at 11 a.m., and the Blackhawks will not be doing anything. Like, they might, you know, they traded for Andre Burakovsky, a kind of, like, mediocre winger, and he's probably going to be Connor Bedard's left wing this year. We all hoped that they were going to go get Mitch Marner or Nikolai Ehlers or Brock Besser, someone with that could, like, bring the best out of Connor Bedard, but that doesn't seem to be in the plans. They're not going to be big players in free agency. I think that's the wrong decision. I think you're at a point where this is Bedard's third year, and you owe it to him to get him players that can play with him. I mean, my God, his first year, his top line mate was Philip Kurashev, and last year his top line mate was Ryan Donato. These are not top line players in the NHL. They're nice players, had nice seasons, but these, you know, if you put Mitch Marner on Connor Bedard's wing next year, he'd have 45 goals and 95 points. Like, I'm sure of it. But that's not going to happen, and I get it. You know, it's personal. It's hard to sell Mitch Marner on coming to Chicago when this team's not is so far from contention. But you need to go out and get somebody. You need to go. The Hawks have all the cap space in the world. Go spend it. Bring someone for a couple of years that can bring the best out of Connor Bedard, so that when these young guys do come to fruition, Bedard's already a megastar. He's going to get there, but you know, at some point, you need to help him. He can't do it by himself.
You had a one-on-one recently, actually, with Connor Bedard. I guess my question is: is he okay? Is he cool? Like, is he happy with the Blackhawks? Is Connor okay?
He is fine. Like, he's frustrated as anybody else. The kid's a serious competitor. He wants to win desperately, and he spent 2 years on, you know, the worst or second worst team in the league. That's not fun for anybody. And his numbers have suffered as a result a little bit, and he thinks that he could be doing more to help the team be better, and he's right. But the weight that's on this kid's shoulders, I mean, he doesn't even turn 20 until 2 weeks from now. Like, he's still a teenager. People forget just how he was young for an 18-year-old when he got drafted. So he's frustrated, sure, but he's not like, you know, everyone in Vancouver. He's from Vancouver, so every Vancouver Canucks fan trying to manifest this idea that he's unhappy in Chicago and wants out, not true. As he told me, like, I want to be a Hawk as long as I'm playing. He's eligible for a new contract extension starting tomorrow. I would not expect him to sign one. I would expect him to go through the year. He wants to put up better numbers to show that he deserves more money, and the Hawks are in no rush to extend him, so I wouldn't sweat that. But he is eligible. He's entering the last year of his entry-level contract. He's going to make a lot of money out of this. The Hawks have that money. They're going to give him that money. Eventually, it'll be fine. But yeah, of course, he's frustrated, but he's not unhappy.
Mark Lazarus, senior NHL writer with The Athletic and the co-host of The Athletic Hockey Show, joining us here on Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody in for Layla. All right, Mark, so if he's happy, if he understands the situation, what exactly is Connor Bedard looking at saying is going to be different this season than his first two seasons?
I think that's going to come from within, right? He's got to be himself, become better. He's trying to become faster this summer. He's working on his skating. He didn't go to world championships. He passed up a chance to play with, you know, Sidney Crosby and Nathan MacKinnon and try to solidify his Olympic chances, because he's more concerned about his own game and being as good as he can for the Blackhawks. So I think part of it is that. And at the end of last year, I mean, it's a small sample size, but that last couple of weeks of the season when all the kids came in, when Sam Renzel was there and Artem Levchinov and all these young guys were finally breaking into the league, it looked good. They looked fast. They looked exciting. And there was an energy in the room that wasn't there when they were just full of all these stopgap veterans during the tanking years. But I think Bedard sees that, and he's excited about that. You know, maybe Oliver Moore steps up, another first-round pick. Maybe he can play in the top six with him. Frank Nazar looked like an absolute superstar. Late in the year, he is going to be – I mean, he might have been the best player on the Blackhawks last year, and he's, you know, 20 years old also. So there's a lot of excitement there, and I think Bedard sees that. He sees it's coming. He wants to be a part of that, but he also wants to lead it, right? He needs to improve his own game so that he can be the one kind of leading the way for that next group.
Two of the other kids that they drafted, Vaclav Nestrosil, the 18-year-old, 6'6", 185, Mason West, 6'6", 210 pounds. Does size matter with the Blackhawks this year?
Well, it does. I mean, they very much focused on, you know, because Nazar and Bedard are both like, you know, 5'10 guys, right? They're not big guys. You can't have a top six that's completely full of 5'10 guys, but we've also, you know, Sidney Crosby's 5'11 and Patrick Kane was probably 5'9 and a half.
Right.
So you can be good, but they made a conscious effort to get bigger. Mason West is a really interesting one because he plays high school football still.
Yeah.
And he's going to play high school football this fall, which is crazy to me, considering the investment that is being put in him and how much value he adds for the Blackhawks. That you're going to let him go play football, but that's kind of the appeal of this kid is he's a two-way star and he thinks like a quarterback, and he's got a long runway ahead of him. It's probably a few years till he's in the NHL. The Hawks kind of like doing that. They like getting guys that haven't even come close to their ceiling yet. They look at like a Sam Rinzel was that 3 years ago. Everyone thought that was a reach of a pick late in the first round. He walked in last year and immediately became their number one defenseman. So that's kind of what they're hoping for with Mason West. Even with Nestor still a little bit, they're drafting guys who might be a little bit behind the curve because they're still so young that they think that if they're already this good now and they're just scratching the surface, imagine how good they can be in a few years.
Can't wait to see Mason West's high school highlights as a football and a hockey player. Should be a fun time. Thanks so much for joining us, Mark. We really appreciate you stopping by to explain what exactly the Hawks are trying to do here with the NHL draft and now free agency.
Anytime, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You know, I would look at how we end the season this past year, 15-5 down the stretch. Obviously, you know, a bitter loss in the play-in game. But the players who played in that game, Giddey, White, Herter, Modest, Vooch, you know, those guys all logged big minutes. They're all coming back. They're all going to be with us. That's the plan.
Yeah, you heard Mark Eversley, the general manager of the Bulls. They're all coming back. Notice Nikola Vucevic's name was mentioned there. So
yes, I did notice that.
That is the plan as we talk Bulls here on Rahimi and Harris. Mark Grody in for Layla. And time now for us to go out to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, where Nick Friedel joins us, CircaLasVegas.com. He is the Odyssey Sports NBA Insider. Nick Friedel, Insider Calls brought to you by Hyundai. We put your safety first and everything else second. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Nick, it's like Groundhog Day out here. More of the same from the Bulls. They do not want your picks. They do want your players that you don't need anymore as you push for a title. Is that an accurate statement in your opinion?
Marshall, the front office is a joke.
Well, there you go.
That's the biggest takeaway here after listening to these press conferences the last few days and hearing the ramblings and the spinning. I love my friend John Greenberg's column from The Athletic today because he opened it by pulling back a quote from Karnisovas from a couple months ago saying, he took a little bit of a step forward, and then you've got Eversley a couple days ago saying, we took a little bit of a step back. What end is up at this point? The Bulls are the laughing stock right now around the league, and the hardest part is there are so many good people within the organization. I've known them for a long, long time at this point, and Mike Reinsdorf keeps people in position that shouldn't be there any longer. And I think plenty of people in the organization understand that, but they're not making the call. And from where I sit, this is all on Mike, because we can talk about the ridiculousness of some of these moves and Karnisovas not even being available to speak to the media, which is a complete joke, and then Eversley screwing up reading off essentially cue cards, the messaging that he wanted to get across. It is a total mess. The rest of the league sees that it's a total mess, but Mike decides to keep guys in place that should no longer be there.
You know how I picture it, Nick, to be honest? I picture it as this. The Bulls are like that bodega, the corner store, where you go in there with your buddy, and then you can distract the guy who runs the store and just grab whatever you want and just walk out, and nobody's going to be any the wiser. Because this deal, the latest one, the Lonzo Ball, when you could have gotten a first-round pick for him at the trade deadline last year, but instead decide to re-sign him and now trade him for a player that the Cleveland Cavaliers deemed unnecessary in their push for an NBA championship, smacks of deja vu, because they just did this with Alex Caruso, and everybody said, why didn't you get some compensation? Now, I'm not saying Josh Giddey's not a good player. I'm not saying he can't be helpful on a team, but knowing what they need to turn things around, Giddey's not enough. Isaac Okoro's not going to be enough. There's got to be someone somewhere saying, this is not the way to do this. I do not agree with their methods, and I just don't agree with what they're doing.
You are in a large majority there. People all over the league in the organization, they don't agree with what they're doing. But again, Marshall, this is why it goes back to Mike. This is on Mike Reinsdorf. The mess that has been created is on Mike and Jerry. And that's just the reality of the situation. When you continue to make the type of poor decisions that are being made, when you continue not to get back draft compensation in these deals, and then you try and sell fans on, no. We just need some more patience here. I mean, you got to be kidding me. How much more time do you need till you see that the front office is not suited for the positions that they're in? That is the saddest part. And I had to laugh, guys, the other day. Masai Ujiri is out in Toronto. That means that Masai Ujiri and Bob Myers are just sitting there now. They are waiting for some team to call and offer them a bunch of money and say, come fix the situation. And instead of doing that, Mike and the Bulls sit there and go, no, no, we're good. We just need to keep things the way that they are. It's a sad state of affairs, but when you see the moves that have unfolded over the last few years, you understand why they're in the position that they're in. And if you're a Bulls fan at this point, there is absolutely no reason to believe that anything is going to change anytime soon.
So what do you think that Michael Reinsdorf thinks that Arturas Karnišovas and Mark Eversley have done well to deserve getting a second bite at the apple and to apparently be given carte blanche, trust me, trust of this team in doing it in the way that they are doing it? Like, why are they allowed this stubbornness?
Mark, I think the answer is very simple. It all comes back to money. The building's full. People are showing up to the games. How much of that is on the front office? I think you could plug anybody in there at this point, guys. I think we've seen this for years. It doesn't matter who's in the front office. People are going to still show up to see Benny spill popcorn on everyone. And
it's that blatant, huh? It's that easy. Yeah. It's that simple. That, I mean, it's logical.
It really is. And the hard part from a distance is, I think the biggest key here is the Karnišovas hire was Mike's big first hire on his own. And when you accept that it was just a bad hire and he has not done the job and you move on, you also have to accept, hey, I swung and I missed. And I don't think Mike is ready to do that yet. I think that's really the biggest problem here, at least in the short term. Because, again, the rest of the league is sitting there going, oh, are you kidding me? Like, again, they make another move and you get no draft picks back again. But this is the way of the world as it pertains to the Bulls in how the rest of the league regards who and what they are. And until major changes are made up top by Mike himself, it's going to continue to be the same way it is, and there's no getting around that.
Odyssey Sports NBA insider Nick Friedell joining us here on Raheem and Harris. Mark Grody in for Layla. You can catch Nick over on the website formerly known as Twitter. That is Nick Friedell, NickFriedell. E-D-E-L-L. Insider Calls brought to you by Hyundai. Hyundai helps protect you and your family on the road. We put your safety first and everything else second. The Bulls, they have been putting draft compensation second for a long time now. I point to you, Nick. Exhibit A. Joe Dumars, the day after the draft, gets on in a press conference and says he started making calls with the team that had the ninth pick in the draft to trade up so that he could get Derek Queen on his team. He said he was trading, and we found out later, one pick after the Bulls picked, that he traded away an unprotected first round pick in 2026 belonging to New Orleans. Nick, how can the Bulls not cash in on this and get that valuable of an asset and trade down 10 spots? How does that's malpractice, correct?
Hell yeah, it's malpractice. But Marshall, you already know the answer to this. You've been in Chicago long enough to know when you have people that aren't doing the job correctly, you're going to have people that continue to make mistakes. And this is absolutely what it is. It's really kind of sad because you draft an 18-year-old, and who knows, guys? Who knows as we sit here what Essanga is going to turn into over time. Maybe he becomes a really good player. We'll see. But an 18-year-old project on a team that so desperately needs draft help and picks and assets, you're telling me you couldn't move down a few more slots and been happy with an unprotected pick next year? It's all reinforcing the point that when you allow people that aren't fit to do the job and have proven they can't do the job well to stay in those positions, you get what you get. And it can't be any clearer to everyone else that the Bulls are a mess, stuck in complete mediocrity. But until Mike looks in the mirror and accepts that, nothing's going to change.
Okay, Nick, here's my big question for you. Nikola Vucevic, my two conditions for this front office proving that they can change, that they can evolve. Josh Giddey doesn't get signed for more than $25 million a year without an offer sheet signed by him somewhere else as a restricted free agent. That's condition number one. Condition number two is Nikola Vucevic is moved for assets and does not walk as a free agent. We've seen that happen before. Andre Drummond, probably the latest example that I can think of off the top of my head. Do you think either of those things can happen for the Bulls, or do you think they're just going to sign Giddey like they did Patrick Williams to outbidding themselves and just let Nikola Vucevic now stay on this team since it doesn't seem like anybody has an appetite for him?
Marshall, what you're asking is, do I think the Bulls front office can make the right move? And the answer is no, I do not. Because
in either case?
Recent history shows us that if there are two moves to be made, they will make the move that is the worst of the two over and over and over again. I don't see how anyone could argue differently. As far as Giddey goes, it feels like all along the Bulls made that move a year ago feeling like, all right, we're going to sign him. And I would stress this to any Bulls fan who says, oh, well, Giddey had a really good year and look at what he did in the second half. Okay, you are going to judge Josh Giddey differently, though, on a $30 million a year deal than you did on the deal he just finished. The expectations change. The Bulls know this as well as anybody. Look at Zach LaVine. Everybody's sitting there going, oh, my gosh, Zach LaVine, he's going to get so much better. He's on this deal. It's really team-friendly. What happened when they signed him for the max? Everybody went, uh-oh. he didn't get that much better, and now you're paying all the way up top for a player who's not a max player in the league. So I expect the worst every time from this front office because that is what they have shown us over and over and over again. I don't even know anymore what you can point to and go, oh, well, we know for sure that this was the right decision. I know the most loyal of Bulls fans look at Bezelis and they say, oh, my gosh, well, Matas, oh, this is a superstar in the making. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
1 year in. Let's take a deep breath here. So the front office is a gigantic problem. But if your anger and frustration is only directed at the front office, you're missing the much bigger point in play.
God, I'm talking to both of you guys here. I'm trying to think of when the last time, no strings attached, that the Bulls made the right decision, like in a big move. You know what I mean? I mean, you could point to individual success stories like Alex Caruso being here, like pretty good. But last time they really did, even like DeMar DeRozan coming here, which was really good, it wasn't the right type of player with Zach LaVine. I don't know, like when the last time it was the Bulls did something where you're like, yep, they're headed in the right direction.
This goes back all the way, Mr. Grody, to when Gorm Pax fired Tibbs, and that move had to happen.
Yeah.
Anybody with revisionist history who is saying, oh, no, they could have kept it. The divorce was happening. On both sides, there was fault. We've all been through this. But the decision to put all their eggs in the basket for Fred Hoiberg was the wrong one. And they knew it. And, guys, this ties back into the front office issues that have been there for a decade. They knew Fred wasn't the guy that first year. They knew in how he handled players and the egos in play. They knew that they had chosen wrong, but they wanted to give him a little more hope, and they had signed him to a five-year deal. They wanted to give him more time to develop, and it didn't happen. And instead of saying, hey, this was not right, we need to go pick somebody else up and start fresh, they waited a little longer than they should have. What happened after Hoiberg? Jim Boylan and that whole experience, which was a total disaster, and everybody knew it again, and pretty immediately, all along. Oh, and they let him stay there. I think Billy is a solid coach, but yeah. Billy with a roster that is devoid of any serious talent is not a miracle worker. So when you have all these missteps and you continue to allow the players to stay in place too long, Pat Williams is the perfect example. Hey, I don't know if this guy's very good. Okay, well, let's give him a $90 million deal. And on the back end of that deal, let's give him a player option. I mean, that's the biggest joke on top of everything else that we've seen lately. So when you continue to make the wrong decisions become even worse over time. And if you are looking for a professional sports organization that is run poorly in regards to how it values the on-court product, I don't think there is any better example of how bad things can be when you take away the money aspect of it than the Chicago Bulls. Oof. But if you're the Chicago Bulls and Mike Reinsdorf, the money aspect is at the forefront of everything they do every day.
Nick Friedell giving us a somber forecast for your Chicago Bulls. Nick, as always, we thank you for dropping by and dropping bombs.
See you guys. Hang in there.
Yeah, that was Odyssey Sports NBA Insider Nick Friedell. Insider calls brought to you by Hyundai. We put your safety first and everything else second. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This will wake you up. It's just a classic. Like, this is on my cardio playlist.
312-644-6767. Keep the names coming. Let's go, Layla.
What they got for
Daniel Palencia as the Cubs celebrate a big series opening win against the Guardians, in which Palencia threw 10 pitches and said, "Watch this. Catch me if you can." All of the things.
It was an Usher watch this type of moment, wasn't
watch
it?
Watch this.
630 says Palencia Lina. Not bad. 224 says El Fuego. Fair. 847 says, how about calling Palencia Fire and Ice? I like all of these names.
I like 309 the best.
Yes?
Gasolencia.
Ooh.
They're all a little bit too long, but...
No, but they're clever.
But Gasolencia has that wit to it. You know what I'm saying?
They're fun.
They're punny.
They are. They're punny and fun. And then 847, just keeping up with our Matthew Boyd theme. Matthew Boyd taught me how to change a tire and the importance of checking my car's fluid levels.
He really is the father that stepped up.
Matthew Boyd taught me how to tie a tie.
Full Windsor, not a half Windsor, a full Windsor.
Daddy needs a sleep.
Matthew Boyd taught us about the importance of knowing that if you take your date to a restaurant, you better know how to pay for everything on the menu.
What about Senior Fumo? That's from 847.
I like them all. Also, like, I didn't know we got accents in our words on the text line, and there's a tilde over the end. So I feel like this is a good development. We also get the baseball emoji. Other than that, it's really hard to see, like, what pictures are on the text line. I like all of this.
I like this entire movement, but most of all, I like that this fan base is seemingly happy on day one of a big week in which you started the week with a very small lead in the National League Central, and now you've grown it a little bit, day by day, right?
By day, amen. You're up to 2.5 games, but regardless, Daniel Palencia deserves not only the appreciation for what he's doing, but the progress. Like, Pitching Ninja had him featured last night. I always feel like that's a big compliment, too. No better person, maybe, though, to ask about his progress than Craig Counsell. Let's hear what he had to say about his, dare I say it, closer.
It's confidence as much as anything. I think he just turned the corner. I mean, we've talked about this in spring training. I thought he had, you know, his just kind of, it's the first time we talked. It was clear that he had turned the corner here. And in young players, one of the things you're looking for is, like, can I assess what happened last year? Like, can I self-assess and can I do it well and can I do it fairly, you know? And I thought he, you know, as well as I've seen in a long, just understood what happened last year to him. And then you make the necessary adjustments. And a lot for Daniel was you know, it was just a mental kind of, and it was, you know, through the confidence issue, and then trust in kind of what he's great at, and I think we've seen that as well.
Don't you like it when people work hard and then they get to have the fruits of their labor show and then they get to improve on it and your boss is happy with you?
I like development, right? I like the fact that if you take a look at where Daniel Palencia has come from and his earlier time spent in the major leagues and the improvement that he's made after a couple of stints in 2023 and 2024, here he is having made 28 appearances. 23 of them have been scoreless. His whip is under one. Oof. His strikeouts per nine, 10.5. I feel like he's gotten to a place of comfort. And if you look back just at the game yesterday, right, that Lane Thomas at bat was it for me. And here's why. It's the second guy he faced after he gets Carlos Santana to fly out to Kyle Tucker. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that he did not go off speed. He said, strike one, strike two, strike three. And the result was Thomas said, I'm going to swing at the first one. I'm going to watch the second one go by. I guess it's 0-2. I might as well try to hit the third one. And the result was the same.
No, like slow motion, the bat just kind of drifts. I agree with that. It was just a signature way to shut a batter down and also show you that if your fastball is really quality, if it's not too straight, if the batter doesn't get used to it, which they will, even now at 101, 101 and a half, 102, they will. You are working with your best stuff and you don't care. And even the next at bat where he ends the game with that swinging slider inside, that slider was well out of the zone. But that's what you can do when you set up your fastball so well. Palencia's numbers so far, 30 innings, a .180 ERA. Marshall mentioned the whip. The fielding independent percentage also incredibly valid at 2.72. 35 strikeouts to only 10 walks. He's my closer. That's how I feel about it.
Well, yeah. You were the one calling for him to close. I was the one saying, I like Keller in that role a little bit more.
It was really simple for me, though, the formula. I was like, what's he throwing? All right, let's work.
So can we call him, like, I think he's the closer for the rest of this year, but can we say he is the future of the Cubs, like, closing, for multiple years? Because I think he has the stuff.
You know what's really funny is we kind of said the same thing about Porter Hodge last year. You know, this was the same type of discussion. And we thought Porter Hodge had earned that spot. He had worked his way into it. Outside of all of this is Ryan Pressly, who I think is doing a good job being a teammate in all of this. You're not hearing any sort of complaints. You're not hearing any discussion. You're not seeing any body language that concerns you when he gets on the mound at whatever juncture in the game it is. You know, this is working because a lot of people are allowing it to as well.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me is understanding that Craig Counsell has full control over who his bullpen guys are in what roles, and it's highly defined, but we've also seen him mix it up. And the beautiful part is Palencia may be, by definition, the closer, but if he has the middle of a lineup coming up in the eighth inning, we know, because we've seen it happen, that Craig Counsell will go to Palencia and say, I'll have you handle the meat of the order and get someone else on the back end.
Very good point. 815, Matthew Boyd is the guy who said he had to run to the store to get cigarettes and actually came back and brought snacks home.
Wow. Wow.
These are so good. Somebody said he taught him how to shave. 5'6"3. Matthew Boyd has to remind me to close the door because the AC is running. You guys are getting me today. This hour on The Score is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. We have to close our Daniel Palencia discussion on Raheem and Harris and open up what happened yesterday. I actually want to start with a caller. Is that a wild thing to do?
No, bring me the caller.
Okay, let's start with our caller, who makes a good point, I think, in a comparison about the extension discussion with Kyle Tucker. Is it Kevin? Is that who we have as our caller? Kevin, you're on The Score.
Hey, Layla. Hey, Marshall. How you guys doing?
What's up?
Hello.
Hey, so, you know, the place that the Cubs are at right now reminds me a lot of where the Blackhawks were in, like, 2011, 2012, when they re-signed Patrick Sharp. It was coming up time to re-sign the rest of the core, Kane, Taves, and all that. And I remember thinking that they were overpaying at the time and mortgaging the future. I was worried about that. I remember sitting there at the United Center before a game, and my dad said to me, Kevin, enjoy it while it lasts because you don't know when it's going to happen again. And the team that the Cubs have on the field this season, I mean, at the beginning of the season, they had the best lineup offensively in the majors for a long time. The run differential is insane. And the bullpen is finally coming around. And, you know, the backside of the bullpen with the high leverage situation is a lockdown. So, you know, to take a page out of the Cubs book from their 2018 marketing campaign with I'm In, let's have Jed push the chips in, sign Tucker, and, you know, extend this team, you know, maybe not for 14 years like they were talking about with Guerrero at the $600 million. But if it takes a lot of money to keep Tucker around and to, you know, maybe give up prospects, not owing Casey, but even Horton or somebody like that to get the arms you need at the top of the rotation to make a playoff push, I think now's the time to do it because tomorrow is not promised. Tucker could be a Yankee or a Dodger or who knows what next year. So take advantage of this while we've got it.
Kevin, thank you for the call. Thank you for the motivational speech. And also, I think setting up our next topic. It's fun when you can have a caller do that. And thanks for the history regarding Patrick Sharp as well. I think it's a little different because the NHL salary cap is so prohibitive. But that even makes the discussion even more, I think, a good illustration because of how concerning at the time the Sharp discussion was. This is Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score. And let's, Marshall, bring up our conversation with former Major League General Manager who you covered in Cincinnati and who's now with The Athletic and CBS Sports, Jim Bowden, who has been saying since at least February it was going to take over $600 million to sign Kyle Tucker.
And he has not shifted.
He said it again, didn't he? Let's listen.
I've said this before, I'll stand by it. He's going to get a six in front of his number. He's going to get $600 million. Yeah, I mean, Guerrero got $500 and Tucker's a better player. Great defender, great arm, and they're just few and far between when you're in your 20s like he is. He's going to age well. You can feel comfortable giving him a 10- or 12-year contract, and he's a complete player. There's nothing he can't do. You guys are witnessing it.
Okay, so on its face, sounds dangerous, right? When you're talking about, let's be honest, $500 million sounds dangerous, and then you're going to take it another $100 million up? $600 million?
To the Cubs, $300 million sounds dangerous.
To the Cubs, $200 million sounds unprecedented because it would be.
Right.
So I think some context is needed here because when we talk about the Vladimir Guerrero deal, as he brought up, it's $500 million. It's not like it's $500 million over, I don't know, 10 years. It's $500 million over 14 years. That basically takes him through, what, his age 40 season? So I think that's a little bit different than when you say $600 million because, one, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is younger than, one, Kyle Tucker. I think that's a start right there. And so you try to understand how long does this need to play out. To me, the AAV, the annual average value, that is what the important number is here. I don't know if you heard Bruce Levine a couple of weeks ago talking about maybe it's 5 years for $250 million because that's a five-year window, and now you're paying him $50 million a year. I wonder how the Juan Soto deal is going to affect this, if anything. But I remember yesterday, Bowden, when he talked to us, said it was the worst deal ever, the Juan Soto deal.
Yes, and I understand why he's going to say that. And I respect Jim Bowden sharing that with us yesterday. If you missed it, you can go to the Odyssey app. You could check it out under our podcasts on Raheem and Harris on The Score. So that's a way to find it. It's worth another listen, I think, especially when you had Carter Hawkins on The Score earlier with Mully and Haw, and then you had Jed Hoyer talking before the game yesterday. But he's not throwing that number out there because it's not valid. He's telling you based on the value of what happened with Shohei Ohtani, where that was the exact opposite of what you talk about, Marshall. That was the extended deferred money, and then you have the Juan Soto deal, that it's reasonable to say, given Kyle Tucker's value, and he's showing it as to why the Cubs are even in this discussion right now. He's showing you why they're in first place in the division, why that is a number that is reasonable, even when you know there's a potential work stoppage on the way. This is a story that we're going to talk about until they make a decision, right? This is not like we haven't discussed it before. What's new, though, is the fact that when you're checking in, especially ahead of the trade deadline with a former general manager in baseball, sometimes the valuation does change. We've seen that with other people. Sometimes it gets a little lower, then it gets higher again, or other factors outside of the market, say a CBA, for example, will affect it. But he's been steadfast. He said 615 in February. He's still saying it's north of 600 now, and I appreciate the check-in.
I think the biggest thing for me is understanding what would you be comfortable with as a fan of a team, an observer of baseball, in seeing the Cubs give him, and what will be the actual number you think he will earn on the open market? Because let's be honest, this thing's going to the open market. The Yankees, the Mets, the Giants, all the Phillies, all the big boy spenders are going to be there.
It's not a discussion for today. I am going to have it later. But when you consider the offensive production of this infield for the expectation of a playoff team, it really makes you appreciate what Tucker is doing even more. And that's part of that sits with me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.